This morning, Acts chapter 18 is where we're starting. Acts chapter 18. Just a couple other more notes. We have our missionary here, if you haven't met already this morning. Kelly Love is here. She's sitting over here by Belva. Belva's her protector, is that right? Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's a joy to have, and as you recall, Kelly was down in Brazil, and then she's back home now for 7 months, essentially on a furlough at this point. So you're going to come preach for us, right? I'm sorry. You're going to... There we go. Yeah, that's right. She's been asked that several times. That's good. Lord's protected, as you remember from the last letter that she sent. Remember there was the truck strike. All the truck drivers went on strike. Kind of, it's a great way to shut a country down. Could you imagine if that happened here? Anyway, so praise the Lord, protected through that. Brazil lost in the World Cup that's going on. If you've been paying attention in the soccer world, you probably haven't. So now the strike is potentially coming back on again, all right? So let's be praying for them, pray for their ministry, the Lord just protect, watch over them, keep them safe, and continue to prosper the ministry there. That'd be a blessing. But make sure you say hello to Kelly. Are you with us all day, Kelly? No, okay, just this morning. So you got to catch her this morning or you don't catch her, all right? There we go. And we'll, Lord willing, look forward to seeing her throughout this 7 months here and there. That'll be a blessing, but on purpose, too. Make sure we get that all taken care of as well. And then my wife has a friend here, Becky. They're coming from all over. Becky, or Kelly is from Brazil. Becky's from Hawaii. So just here. Now, that's not a foreign country, remember, right? It's so funny. I had a roommate. Was he a roommate? I guess, yeah, he was a roommate. And then he was my floor monitor back in the years in college. And he was from Hawaii. His dad was ministering over there. And he would come to the mainland and he would walk into McDonald's and say, "Do you take Hawaiian currency here?" That's just cruel, isn't it? It's the U.S. dollar bills. It's just that it's U.S. So, anyways, Becky and Abby were friends through college, traveled together some, and they were roommates on tour and so forth. And so it's been a delight to have Becky around. She teaches in a Christian school over there, Friendship Baptist Christian School, a Friendship Christian School, on Oahu, right? Did I get that one right? Besides Oahu, I don't even know where Oahu is. I just know it's part of the Hawaiian Islands. I guess I should catch up on my geography a little bit. It's one of the main ones, though. Is that right? One of the big islands there. So one of these days I'll get over there and see the World War II things. That would be a blessing. But she teaches and works there. Interesting ministry. They're round, normal people. Hawaiians are people that need the Lord. It's just the reality. So pray for her as you have the opportunity. This is my first time to meet her, and it's a blessing that she's been in our home for a couple days, and she'll be leaving us tomorrow. Her hometown area, I guess you put it that way, is Hudson, Wisconsin. So she knows friends that I know and so forth, so that's a blessing to have her here. Acts chapter 18, and I very much appreciate even the song that was mentioned, that was sung this morning. As we've been walking through the book of Acts, and again, Pastor Allen, it's good to have you here today. God seems to know the timing of these things well. Remember, we've gone back into the book of Acts on purpose because of the church plant and looking forward to those days, opportunities to reach another community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, as we worked through the first part of chapter 18, as Paul is in Corinth, remember he was a marked man. Now, they had targeted him to get rid of him, and yet his character had targeted him and who he was. And remember, we talked about some of those things last week in the first half of the book, essentially, or the chapter here last week. Today, I want us to take some time to look at the latter half of chapter 18 and then actually into chapter 19. We're combining both the work at the end of chapter of Corinth as Paul hastens through the town of Ephesus, heads to Jerusalem, and then comes back to Ephesus. So really the focus is on Ephesus, using not just chapter 19 as the start point, but really all the way back into chapter 18 to kind of get the full picture. Here's the truth I want you to learn today. I'm going to give you the answer before I give you the question, all right? All right. The answer today is we need to use every unique... Somehow the frog's in my throat. I'll get it out yet. Every unique opportunity within the clear parameters of God's Word to make disciples. You see, life is filled with all kinds of different circumstances upon which we are supposed to be making disciples. And I'm talking about the whole process of making disciples. Of making a disciple starts at salvation and really is never finished until we reach glory. I trust that today and through our ministry, and we talk about this often here, but we help make disciples of one another. Part of the reason of the church. We gather together not to talk about the weather, not to see what happened this past week, but to make disciples. Why do we have Sunday school? Just to keep the kids corralled. No, it's to make disciples. Why do we do Wednesday night? To make disciples. Why is it that we have fellowships outside of our church service times? To make disciples. Why do we do youth activities? Not to have fun with the kids. Sorry if that's a disappointment. Now, we have fun with the kids, but it's not to do that. It's to make disciples. And so Paul, in his life, has numerous opportunities, and yet he always is making sure he's staying within God's guidelines. He's not going to do sinful things to get God's work done. You've heard it said before. It's attributed to Bob Jones Sr. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. I'll never forget. I was on my way. Dad, I'm going to pick on you a little bit this morning. I was on my way for my driver's test. 16 years old. We're driving in from West Salem, Wisconsin to La Crosse, Wisconsin. And we got started late. And I was puttering along. Dad would attest to that. I want to get everything right. I didn't want to disobey any law. And Dad said, David, if you don't pick up the speed, we're not going to get there on time. You're not going to get your test taken today. And I've got this turmoil going on, but the speedometer says, I didn't know the speedometers aren't real accurate, all those kinds of things anyways, and that the traffic was flying around me and I was, practically being an obstacle in the way of the traffic, all those kinds of things. So we got there. Thankfully, I passed the test. I was so nervous, but I passed the test anyways. But it was like, oh, I need to pay attention for what's right and appropriate. Stay within the parameters, but don't become an obstacle. Too often, we handle things wrong, and we become an obstacle to God's work instead of becoming something that's useful in God's tools, in God's hands. When that happens, there are often where we think, we're traditionalists, and we get stuck in a rut. We have our same habits. I was paying attention as I was shaving this morning. I realized, I always start on the same spot on my neck when I start shaving. Why do you think these crazy things? Anyways, I realized, we're creatures of habit. We do the same thing over and over again. And sometimes when something's not quite according to what we think is normal or right, we run instead of take advantage of the opportunity. Paul, in these unique opportunities, and then actually his helpers, are going to take advantage of something that's somewhat out of the ordinary, but still clearly within the parameters of God's Word, for them to reach some more souls for Christ, to make disciples. So let's jump in and see how in a couple of different circumstances, they use these unique opportunities not against them, but for them to serve the Lord. Chapter 18, let's begin at verse number 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. Remember, they'd taken him to the judgment, and Gallio had sent them away, said, I'm not going to have anything to do with it, and they beat the leader of the synagogue and so forth. But Paul stayed for a while. He wasn't going to let problems run him away. Remember, God had promised, I'm with you there. So after this, had tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea. Now talking about Paul, for he had a vow. So he was still being involved in some of the Jewish traditions, not necessarily against Christianity, trying to, I'm sure, use this opportunity to win his brothers and sisters of Jewish descent. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left Aquila and Priscilla there. For he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now remember, Aquila and Priscilla, we'd run into last week. They were of the same trade. They'd been kicked out of Rome by Claudius Caesar. And so they came down to Corinth, and that's where Paul met up, and they worked together until Paul could go full-time into ministry. But they became wonderful friends, dear friends. We're going to see their names mentioned throughout Scripture, really from this point on, in their ministry and service. Verse 20, when they desired him to tarry longer, so he started his normal work of going to the synagogue. Remember, he started in the same spot, just like I started the shaving, the same spot this morning. Went to the synagogue. Went to Ephesus, went to the synagogue. The God-fearers were there. The Jews there that knew the Old Testament were there. So he'd start there. That was a good place to start to evangelize. And when they desired him to tarry, verse 20, longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Very interesting. It seems as though there was some unique opportunity. And yet in Paul's mind, he had some other purposes and reasons for leaving, and so he leaves. Now, who does he leave behind? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. Verse 22, though. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, that is, gone up to Jerusalem, and saluted the church at Jerusalem. So notice it's very interesting that the scriptures here, Luke records only that he saluted the church. It doesn't talk about his vow and the feast and so forth. No, he was concerned about what was happening New Testament-wise. He went to the church, saluted them, greeted and encouraged them, and then he went down to Antioch. Where's Antioch? Well, we're talking about Syrian Antioch, his home church, essentially. The church that had sent him out. He's on a second missionary journey here, being sent out again. And so he goes home to give probably a report, finds some respite there before he heads out again on his third missionary journey. And after he'd spent some time there in Antioch, verse 23, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples, making disciples. So he went back to the numerous churches that he had started, churches that some we don't even have record of, disciples that we don't know of, but he knew of. And he's about the business of doing the Great Commission, making disciples, strengthening the disciples of the churches. Now, let's park back, verse 24, back to Ephesus. We get this little travelogue of Paul going to Jerusalem, up to Antioch, and now starting his third missionary journey in Phrygia and Galatia. And he's going to end up back here in Ephesus. But in the meantime, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that's down in Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent. So he knew something about, and this reference to the Lord here is a reference to Jesus Christ. So he knew something about Jesus, but not everything, as we'll discover. So this man being instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Essentially, it appears that Apollos was declaring that Jesus was coming. Be ready. Repent. Christ is coming. That's all he knew. You say, why did that? That's kind of strange. Why didn't he know more? I don't know. Scriptures don't tell us. He's down in Egypt. Where did Christianity go? It went from Jerusalem north into. Let's do your side. All right, here's Israel. Goes up to Antioch. Remember, they're called Christians first in Antioch, chapter 11. Now Paul starts his missionary journey. He goes into Crete in the Mediterranean, then up into the Asia area, all right, where Turkey is today, crosses over, goes into Macedonia, eventually down to Achaia, Greece area today. All right, all of that, that's where the thrust, at least as we have historically in the book of Acts, where Christianity goes. Where's Apollos? He's way down here, below the pulpit, in Egypt. It didn't all get there, I guess. But interesting enough, this is an interesting, as we put the pieces of the puzzle together, it appears as though he was already trusting Jesus as his Savior, though he thought Jesus was still coming. Notice here, when we get to the next few verses, Aquila and Priscilla aren't going to teach him about salvation again. They're just going to fill in the blanks so he can start growing in his walk with the Lord. He doesn't get rebaptized. All right? He's already a believer, though not fully understanding. Aren't you glad that God sometimes, in His goodness and grace, interacts with us with the truth that we have and grows us from there? Aren't you glad for that? I am grateful that as a 5-year-old, Dad didn't try to teach me to drive then. Now, was the reality of a car and the driving skill something that I needed to learn? Absolutely it was. I'm grateful for it. It's been a help and blessing to life for years and years and years now. But I wasn't ready for it then. God often brings our sanctification process one step at a time. A believer, as you're making disciples, just a thought here as we jump into what's going to happen. Don't get frustrated when that person you're trying to encourage in the Lord isn't where you're at or where you think they should be at spiritually. There's usually something that God
I'm going to steal one of your phrases. It's where the finger of God is working. All right? All right? Brother John likes to use that. Where there's usually a spot where God is working in that person's life. So start there. Now grow them beyond that point, but start there. You're leading a soul to Christ. Now, are they supposed to repent of their sin? What's the answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. Okay, good. Yes? Are they supposed to trust Christ in faith?
Yes.
Okay, good. Right. Now, do they know all the doctrines of soteriology and ecclesiology and eschatology and Christology and hermeneutology and demonology and angelology?
No.
No, thank you. All right, former preacher here, he's going at it. That's good. But that's right. But it could be that the very point that they're at is that they're a drunkard. And they're coming to the end of their rope. And they need to give up that sin of drinking. Now with that sin comes all the other sins. But that's the point at which God is working. Now notice what happens here with Apollos. It appears as though he's already saved. But God is going to work from that point and grow him in Christ. And talk about growth. It's amazing. All right. So let's read the rest of the passage now with all that background. So verse 26 again. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. I guess we left off actually there. So he was only preaching the baptism of John. Whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly or completely. They filled in the holes. Now notice what happens. We don't have the rest of the story. Scripture is very efficient. But by just saying, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, verse 27, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, we know that he'd received the rest of the story. And they were putting their stamp of approval on Apollos' work. He will share the truth clearly. Now, Achaia. What city is in Achaia? Corinth. Now, we know from what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, even in the inspired text in 1 and 2 Corinthians in our Bible, that Apollos had an amazing ministry there. What does Paul say? I planted, Apollos watered. Who gave the increase? God did. God did. So Apollos did some amazing work. So whatever happened between the end of verse 26 and the beginning of verse 27 was called discipleship. He grew in the Lord. And who did it? Aquila and Priscilla. Now, who were Aquila and Priscilla? Just normal people in the church there at Ephesus. Just helping it get started. They weren't ordained. They weren't the apostle. They were just lovers of Jesus Christ. Just Christians. And they were willing to take on this highfalutin, very eloquent orator who knew scriptures inside and out. Maybe they didn't even know that much about the scriptures. We don't know, although they were with Paul for a while. I suspect they knew quite a lot. But they took what they knew and helped that man grow in Christ. Point number one is this. Disciple leaders. And that may mean you helping someone become a leader. What you have done, church family, with the Harrells is exactly this. You've been a part of the process of discipling the Harrells. Who is Pastor Allen? He's gifted of God to lead, is he not? We're grateful for that. God has called him to that work. What you've done is you followed in the footsteps of Aquila and Priscilla. Praise God. Now keep it on. We've got some teenage boys that could need some help. Some girls. We've got some kids down in the junior church right now. I can see it in them already. Whoever's in the nursery, or Wee Walkers, Dory's in Wee Walkers now, something like that. That little stinker, she's a spitfire. That child needs honing. Well, she needs to get saved first. Do you understand? You see, all along the way, we've got people that God has gifted on purpose to be those in the forefront. Some of us, God's gifted to be behind the scenes. God, on purpose, doing all that for His good work, stuff beyond our imagination or understanding. But here, the people behind the scenes, Aquila and Priscilla, They were not the up front, the pulpit people, but they were the people in the pew, but they were faithful in God's work and they discipled leaders. Now, let's walk through this discipleship process, the clues that the scriptures give us. We see, first of all, in verse 24, yes, Apollos is an eloquent man. He was a man of words, a man of great ideas. He was mighty in scripture. This man knew the Old Testament well. Could be that Alexandria had a strong Jewish community there. Could be that he learned in school there from the Old Testament. We're not sure. But he knew scriptures. Scripture would give the test of that. And then in verse 25, he passionately taught the truth that he knew. Isn't that something? So he diligently spoke the things and taught the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And then verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This was a leader of leaders. But what do they do, verse 26? They took him. Now our English word took, it sounds like they just grabbed his hand and said, come here. Well, it's somewhat that way, but it was a strong term in the Greek language. It says to take by the hand in order to lead. Another way that it's used is to take somebody as their friend, to admit them as their friend. They brought them into their inner circle. We're going to spend time with you, pal. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, who are they? They're just tent makers. Not too long ago, had lost everything because they got kicked out of Rome. I suspect that they were doing okay. They knew how to make some money, but they probably weren't filthy rich. They had work to do every day to make the tents so they could have food to eat. And yet they stopped and took him. Apollos, come here. Come to our house. They were hospitable and generous. And now, and what does it say in verse 26? And so they took him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They opened and declared, they exposed the truth. God's way of conduct, his way of thinking, God's way of deciding, all these truths. And they did it exactly, perfectly, straightly, rightly, carefully. They didn't leave out any detail. And so what happened? Apollos became a disciple of Christ. I was arrested my last year of seminary by the seminary dean. He was president emeritus, chancellor. There's the word I'm looking for, chancellor, chief, Dr. E.R. Jordan. I was trying to figure out how I could best raise support to go to Denmark. It seemed the Lord looked like the Lord was opening our doors. And I said, Chief, you know, it seems like these missionaries are taking so long to go on deputation. Is there anything you would suggest? Or give me an idea on how I could maybe help that process, something to be wise. You know, give me the silver bullet that I can get it done and get to the field. He nailed me to the wall. Not literally. Although he was still strong enough, I think, back in those days. He had Popeye arms. I looked at him as Popeye. And he could just grab you. Anyway, it was shorter than I. Anyways, big man. He said, Dave, who have you won to Christ, had them baptized, discipled them so they're faithfully involved in a local church? I was 20, probably about 26 at the time. And I was dumbfounded for a minute. I remember thinking afterward, you know, whenever you're put on a spot, you can't think. Anybody like that besides me? Okay, yeah. Anyways, I realized, wait a second, I had led people to Christ. I had helped young people get baptized. I'd been involved in going through discipleship classes with others. But there had never been a single soul that I had taken from the start to the finish, if you can put it that way, or to the spot where they're growing in Christ, they're on their own, they can stand on their own two spiritual feet, and so forth. I didn't have an answer. And then he asked me about several other ministry things. I mean, nailing me to the wall. It was in a classroom setting. It's like, I had guys come up to me afterwards. I'm glad it was you and not me. Thanks a lot. I wasn't glad that it was me. What was he saying? And this was then in his bear gentleness. All right, and like a bear, but gentle. He was a dear saint of the Lord. Dear saint, I appreciate him so much. He said, Dave, what I'm trying to tell you is, If you go out and do ministry for a while, when you go to raise support, people then you're tried. People will know that actually God can use you. And so he said, my challenge to you is to not go to the mission field right away. Become an assistant pastor. Serve the Lord under somebody. Learn some more. Be used of the Lord more. Be a demonstration that God uses you. And then when you want to go to the field, you'll have no trouble raising support. Well, God's never sent me to the mission field as full time. He sent me to you and to other places, all right, full time. And that's God's design and God's work, and I see God's hand in all of that. What a blessing. But believer, let me ask you that same question, maybe not as harsh and not as firm as Chief would do it. But like Aquila and Priscilla, who have you led to the Lord? Help them get baptized. Help them grow in Christ so that they're an active, faithful member of a local church serving the Lord faithfully there. Can you think of maybe individuals that you've helped with that? Anybody? Aquila and Priscilla were just the people in the pew. Apollos was the leader, the speaker, the eloquent one, the one that knew Scripture well. You would say, that's for Paul to take care of, not me. No, Aquila and Priscilla knew that they could help that man. And so they taught him, expounded the Word of God more perfectly to him. So the time we come to verse 27, what happens? He is ready to serve the Lord faithfully, declaring the truth that Paul was preaching, so that he could go to Corinth and water the seed that Paul had planted so that that church would continue to blossom. Isn't that something? Let us be faithful in making disciples. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Don't forget the promise, lo, I'm with you always. Believer, what have you done in making disciples? Take the opportunities that God gives you. You say, well, I haven't had an Apollos cross my path. Well, who has God put across your path? Make a disciple. Well, I tried. Keep going. Well, but they didn't accept. Well, find somebody else. We were out yesterday calling. A unique experience poor Eric and Gary had. I saw them. I was the runner yesterday in the van. I'd get out for a couple calls and then to go pick up people. We were moving people around. Anyways, we came. We were done for the morning. And I saw Gary at this house. I saw his head poke out around the porch area. And it's like, oh, they're there. So we covered all the houses. And then we pulled up to the house. I mean, they're nowhere in sight. So that means they're probably inside. Well, we heard some really loud talking come out of the open windows, like, are Gary and Eric, I mean, they're men, they can handle themselves, but what's going on inside there? Well, finally, after about 20 minutes, I said, well, maybe I should go just see what's happening. Maybe I need to rescue them. Sure enough, I did. Essentially, they thanked me for coming up to the door because it gave them a reason to stop. There was a man in there imbibing a lot of false doctrine, and he was trying to disciple them. They couldn't get a word in edgewise. So what do we do about a guy like that? I mean, he was basically calling us names as we walk away from him. I basically said, I didn't say brother. I said, man, you're not interpreting Scripture correctly. No, you're not interpreting Scripture correctly. Anyway, okay, yeah. See ya. All right, it's very clear we're casting our pearls before swine at this moment. All right, come on, guys. Now, what do we do about that? Get discouraged? No. There's another sheep out there that needs to hear the truth. So we keep going. Find someone to make a disciple. Be a part of the process. You may not be a part of the whole process. I'm glad God doesn't require that. There's nowhere in Scripture I have to be a part of the whole process of someone along the way. But I must be a part of the process. Does that make sense? Make a disciple. So, Apollos then, we see the fulfillment in verse 27. He accepted the truth. The doctor learned from the nurses. Right? And in meekness, he does his part. And in brotherly kindness, they send him out, giving him even a letter of encouragement. The folks in Corinth, would you accept this man? We know him. He's true and tried. He'll be a blessing to you. 4, verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Not that he was coming, but that he was Christ, that Jesus had come, that he died on the cross, that he was now the Savior to follow. That was Apollos. Disciple leaders. Be involved in the discipleship process. Now, I'm going to try to, you know what? I'm going to call it quits for the day. How do you like that? We're too far along. I'm going to have too much to get into the sorry team from Camp Joy. If you want to listen to the message online next week, you can, okay? If it's worth it to you, okay? The next point from the beginning part of chapter 19 is make disciples of the confused. And this gets heavy for a little bit, all right? God wants us in every scenario and circumstance to make disciples. And now we'll pick up where Paul jumps back into the picture and he deals with some folks that are highly confused and is willing to take them and show them the truth, help them become Christians. They had been baptized by John's baptism, but clearly were not Christians, hadn't received the Holy Ghost, didn't know what was going on. So he gives them the truth. Unlike Apollos, who didn't have to be rebaptized, he'd already believed in Christ, was just looking forward to him and found out that, oh, he has already come. Okay, he's my Savior. I already trusted him. These folks didn't know who Jesus was, had no clue. And so Paul helped the confused to become unconfused. Let us today be faithful and involved in the disciple-making process. Believer, don't envy and don't take on ministry as an impersonal ambition. This is not about us. Aquila and Priscilla here in this scene were behind the scenes. Could it be that God didn't fill in the gaps between 26 and 27? Because the purpose was to demonstrate that any one of us, no matter who we are, can make disciples. Use every unique opportunity within the clear parameters of Scripture to make disciples. So my words to you today is, go get them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you, even through my fumbling at times, you can work. Lord, Aquila and Priscilla stand as amazing examples to us. They're just like us, just normal Christians. And yet they made disciples, even of someone who would naturally be somebody that they would not necessarily do that with, a leader, someone that's out in front. And yet they understood the call of God in their life and this opportunity. So they took this unique opportunity, discipled Apollos, who then became an amazing asset to your work in the churches there in the first century. Lord, we have children in junior church, teenagers, young adults, young families, middle-aged families and adults. We have senior saints. All of us are in the process of growing in our discipleship, becoming more like Jesus, our Savior. All of us need help. May we not neglect our duties to make disciples. Lord, I would love to make a disciple of some of my neighbors. Would you give me the opportunity and the courage to do that? Lord, you've called me to help make disciples of this church family. I need your help to do it rightly and do it well. We thank you for Camp Joy. Thank you for the work that they do, almost like a rescue mission or like a hospital. They're dealing with a lot of emergency cases. Lord, would you help these young men that are here today, the Robertsons, the Moores, and all their staff? May they make disciples in the touches and moments that they have. Help each of us this week. As we leave here this afternoon, maybe we interact with a waiter or a waitress at the restaurant. Help us to be thinking about making disciples. As we go to work tomorrow, help us to make disciples. Lord, may we be found faithful, taking every opportunity to make disciples. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, maybe God has in a particular way challenged your heart today. You know and understand the calling of God. We've talked about it most frequently here. The book of Acts stands as a neon light to this truth of making disciples. And yet today, God has pricked your heart in maybe a specific particular area where you know that you need to grow in becoming a better discipler, being better at making disciples. Whether it's in the evangelism side or the discipleship side of somebody that maybe God has crossed your path with and You've neglected it. Or maybe it's just in the reality of saying, I realize now today that's just as much as my job as anybody else's, and I want to be a good disciple maker. You'd say, Pastor, pray with me that God would help me to be the disciple maker that God has called me to be, just like Aquila and Priscilla were in Acts chapter 18. Is that your need today? Could I pray for you? Quiet, slip your hand in the air and say, that's my need today, Pastor. Yes, several hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Be faithful. Yes, be faithful. Amen. Yes. Yes, amen. I have not shared the gospel directly today, the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ dying for our sin, paying that price, rising again, demonstrating that He's conquered death and sin and Satan. But maybe today you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, could I encourage you? Come to Him. Trust Him. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ alone, who only can save your soul, who only can give you heaven, who is the only God. Would you trust Him today? Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, that's my need. Maybe you don't fully understand, but we could be an encouragement in a couple minutes for you. You'd say, Pastor, that's my need. Please pray for me. Anyone at all quietly slip their hand in the air and say, that's my need, Pastor. Please pray for me. Anyone at all. So, Lord, help us to be faithful to the commission You've given us. Help us to make disciples. Thank You again for the example of Scripture. And may we take encouragement today and be found faithful in doing our job and our responsibility as Christians. If there's one here today without the Savior, please draw them to Thyself today. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. An opportunity for you to respond to God's working in your heart. Believer, if you need to come and spend some time in prayer, asking for the Lord's assistance, encouragement. Maybe you want even some counsel. Well, come catch my hand if you want counsel. We'll have someone step aside with you. But if you want to spend some moments in prayer, committing yourself to being a faithful disciple maker, well then why don't you come? If you're here today without Christ, come catch my hand. We'll be delighted to have someone take the Word of God and step aside with you and show you from God's Word. And you could leave here today knowing for certain you're on your way to heaven, knowing for certain your sins are forgiven. So as our pianist quietly plays through an invitation hymn, we hum along. As God's working your heart, you respond.